What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 298th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, SBJ. And with me today, I have Will.
And I am ready to sell my kidneys to a good buyer in exchange for only two Anjanath fangs, please. Thank you.
Just wait till you get to high rank.
I made Logan giggle. Oh, gosh.
I've been told, I haven't been to high rank yet, Monster Hunter talk right off the bat, that they made the drops extremely easy for low rank, and then it all changes for high rank.
Well, I have literally hunted Anjanath about 10 times, and I'm still low on fangs.
Let me give you a pro tip, Will. I've figured this out. None of low rank matters because you have to regrind all the armor once again when you get to high rank, and you will never wear that low rank armor. So just focus on one set and quickly move on because it's the same monsters once you get to high rank.
Oh, wow. Tips from the Carve right here on Pokemon.
This is the pro tips. Well, I was curious. Up. I was curious because Logan's also a Monster Hunter player. Also, Logan's here.
Hey. You should teach your kitty cat how to knock fangs off of monsters, because that's how you get them drops.
Logan, when was the last time you were on?
Long time ago. I don't even remember. I think it was before we started VRE, so a long time ago.
I think you were last... the last time I think I recorded with you was Tuesday Night Podcast.
Yeah.
Which I don't do anymore, but that podcast is still
April going. 29th, 2017.
Was that the last time?
Correct.
You didn't know that.
How did you get that so quick?
Skype. Yeah. The last time the three of us were on a Skype call
but
together.
I think that was Tuesday night. I don't think that was ISE.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Because it was B-Team. Oh, man.
Well, that's all right. We're here now together.
Hooray.
But pro tip. So, I want to get all the armor sets in Monster Hunter. This is a Pokemon podcast, by the way, but let me talk about Monster Hunter for 10 seconds here. I want to get all the armor sets in Monster Hunter, but... So I can mix and match, right? Because I want to do the mixing and matching. I want a fashion hunt. But if I...
Absolutely.
So the first problem in Monster Hunter is I'm already out of Zenny. Because I'm using that Zenny to build the sets.
Again, teach your kitty cat how to knock money out of a monster.
And so if I'm building all these low rank sets, I'm really not going to mix and match. Because by the time I put the effort in for all these low rank sets, I'm going to be in high rank. And why would I ever wear low rank sets when the high rank sets are identical? They're exactly the same. They're just better. Yeah. They look and do the same things. So there's no reason to put any effort into low rank sets, Brian, unless I'm missing something. But
well,
I mean, that's
you're
always
definitely missing something because I we'll have to sit down by a fire someday and have this conversation because I don't understand how you run out of money. I have 80,000 Zenny, and I spend it wildly. I'm just buying this, buying that, throwing something I just bought away.
I bet it's because you do a lot of solo hunt, right?
I do a lot of investigations.
But are you doing them solo?
No, I got lots of friends. Logan hunts with me all the time.
I don't know, because I'm only making 1,000 Zenny per hunt, because it's always 4,000 Zenny for a quest, but they split it four ways depending on how many people are hunting with you. So if you're not hunting with anyone, you get the full 4,000. But if you're hunting with three other, it will split it for 1,000. And then, of course, if somebody dies, it minuses 1,000 and then splits the 3,000 four ways.
Wow. Jeez.
It's like I play Monster. It's like I have a Monster Hunter podcast.
I mean, you definitely should teach your kitty cat how to do all the stuff that you want to do.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm missing out. I'm missing a step, I guess. Anyways, that's just my pro tip. I wouldn't worry too much about low rank stuff. Just get one armor set and
high rank actually has alpha and beta sets of armor, so there is different stuff in high rank. The alpha set looks exactly the same and does exactly the same thing, but the beta set has a slot and looks
now
like
you've
the,
gone too deep, sir. You've gone
it looks like the
deep.
Bow, like the hunt. You know, you remember how bow stuff used to be a completely different armor set than
melee
weapons? Yeah, so the bow. It's like the bow sets or the beta.
Oh, I see. Anyway, we're going off tangent. But anyways, it looks the same, and it has the same abilities. It just has more of those abilities.
Mm-hmm. But the beta set actually has one less ability, but one more slot. So you could slot in whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, whatever jewel you want.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some Pokemon stuff. Weird news week because not a lot of news. Again, we're in the lull that is the February period. Normally, we hear more Pokemon stuff normally during the March and April era months. The era that is March and April. But we got a little bit of news, and then we're gonna play some catch up on emails. The reason that Logan is here. It's because, yep, one, we missed him. But two, we're recording on a Saturday night instead of our normal Sunday afternoon because I'm still in the middle of the Team Brave Pokemon Crystal Marathon on Twitch. So that's been, I've done 7 days now of 8-hour streams. So I've streamed 56 hours this past week.
Jeez.
Which is a lot. Two extra days of 8 hours is way more than, like, it doesn't sound like a lot of like, oh, just stream 8 hours every day, but boy, whew.
How many more days is it going for?
One more week.
Jeez.
Boy.
So did you
catch Abra yet?
I did not catch Abra. I gambled my life away for Abra.
Inside joke. Will Anderson inside joke.
What?
So if you don't know, if you haven't been watching on Twitch, so the Team Brave Crystal Marathon is three streamers. It's myself, Robson, and Data Dave, and we all work in three shifts of 8 hours. So obviously 8 times 3 is 24. That lets us do the marathon for 24 hours for 2 weeks. I stream from 10 a.m. Eastern to 6 p.m. Dave streams from 6 p.m. Eastern to 2 a.m., and then Rob streams from 2 a.m. to 10 a.m., and then we host each other, so we're pretty much taking all our viewers and passing them off to the next streamer. And we've been doing that for a week, so it's been really cool. And our goal for the marathon is to get 25 shinies in Pokemon Crystal, which is extremely difficult because the shiny odds in Crystal are 1 in 8,000, but there is also no shiny charm, there's no SOS, there's no chain fishing. There's no friend safari. It's literally just either software setting or just random encounters. I realized when I got to Goldenrod City that there's a couple exceptions, right? There's Red Gyarados, which is 100%. There's the odd egg. So this is only in Crystal. Pro tip here before we get to news. I guess before we get to news, we'll talk about this Crystal playthrough because there's a lot of tips and tricks and things I've learned in Crystal. It's a very interesting game, actually, but... in Crystal, there's something called the odd egg, and you get it at the daycare. It's not the Togepi egg you get from Mr. Pokemon near the beginning of the game. But when you get to the daycare, the old man and woman give you something called the odd egg, and it has a 1 in 7 chance of being shiny, or a 14% chance of being shiny. So if you save before the odd egg and you ride your bike to Hatchet, you have a 14% chance of either a Cleffa, a Pichu, Smoochum, Elekid, Magby, or Tyrogue. All pretty cool Pokemon. All of those Pokemon are female except for Tyrogue. Tyrogue's guaranteed 100% male. The only bad thing about that is it takes about 12 minutes to hatch that egg. So if you don't get a shiny in the first 4 tries, you've literally just wasted an hour riding your bike up and down. So while it is an easy 14%, it is 12 minutes per egg. So that's the easiest shiny. So when I was hatching my egg, it only took me 2 tries. I know I had to soft reset for it. Yes, I hate soft resetting. I still hate soft resetting. You guys don't need to write in saying, Steve, you'll never soft reset. I was planning on never soft resetting in my life, but I did not make the rules of this marathon. I just signed up for it, and I fell into this. So I know. I get it. With my hours and days I've spent in Goldenrod City, I realized that there is a gambling corner. And inside the gambling corner, you can pay coins for Pokemon. Abra is 100 coins, which you can buy 5 Abra at once, which is 10,000 Pokédollars in coins. And you can't buy 6 because you have to have 1 Pokemon in your party. What I would do is I would buy 5 Abra, check to see if they have the star, because in Crystal, you can tell if a Pokemon is shiny because they'll have the 3 little stars next to their gender. I would buy 5 Abras, look at all 5. If it wasn't, I would soft reset, buy 5 Abras, soft reset. Remember when I told you the odds were 1 in 8,000? Well, it took me 8,200 Abras to find a shiny Abra.
Wow.
But I got it. It took about 3 full streams, so exactly about 3 streams and a little bit extra, so about 26 hours to get a shiny Abra in Pokemon Crystal.
Okay, so that sounds like a really fascinating whole day of streaming. What did you do to make the crowd not just like, was that an interesting stream? How did you make it interesting?
I think all shiny hunting on Twitch is 90% talking with the streamer and 10% the actual shiny.
Okay.
Most people from my perspective come in and they're also either shiny hunting or they just have it up in the background, and it's almost all like interaction of like asking questions, talking stories. Like today on today's stream, somebody asked if I did this full time, and I said yes, and they were like, well, it's really cool that you do this full time and you make enough money to do this full time. And I was like, well, just because I do this full time doesn't mean I make a living off of this. Like I have the podcast, Patreon, and I have like a couple of small side jobs that pay me weekly. And then I was like, and then they asked me like, why don't I just apply for a job? And I was like, well, I do apply for jobs. I apply for 4 jobs every week, and I collect unemployment. And then the whole debate was, well, that doesn't count. You can't collect unemployment and stream. And I was like, oh boy, let me tell you about Wisconsin unemployment laws, because I can absolutely do both, and I can tell you why it's legal, which is a whole other story, but technically I am allowed to do self-employment stuff and collect unemployment at the same time. It's not as complicated as it probably sounds, but it's also like a 15-minute conversation that I've already had once today.
Yeah, and let me very quickly answer the 3 most common questions that Steve gets asked while he is streaming. Number 1, the cat is an American bobtail. Yes, they are born without tails. The tail is not cut off. Number 2, he is shiny hunting. That means that he's looking for a particular Pokemon that is of a different color than the other Pokemon. No, there is nothing else special about them. They don't trade for extra money. They don't have special powers. They're just a different color. Number 3, most commonly asked question. Oh, I just had it in my mind. Oh, goodness gracious.
What's the candle smell?
No, because we already have a command for that. Number 3, are you using an emulator?
Yeah.
No, he's not using an emulator. Why would you ever shiny hunt on an emulator? You can't then transfer those Pokemon up to the more recent games.
That's also my favorite question of like, why are you using an emulator? Look, buddy, if I was emulating this, I probably wouldn't have spent the last 28 hours of my life buying and selling Abras when I could just emulate myself a shiny Abra instantly. What's going on here? But yeah.
I don't think anyone would tune in for a watch me create Abras with Game Shark codes or something, you know?
I don't know. If I put Game Shark in my stream title, maybe people would turn up. Yeah, no, it's been really great. If you were to ask me like a year ago what I thought about shiny hunting or watching people shiny hunt, I would have probably told you that it's really boring. And then a lot of people, or some people will say like, man, you have a lot of patience, because like right now I'm shiny hunting a Koffing. Again, 1 in 8,000 odds to get a shiny Koffing. And I think we ended the stream today at 1,700 Koffings, which is like what? Close to 25% to at odds. But people are like, wow, you have a lot of patience. And yes, I guess I do have a lot of patience, but also it's very easy to keep doing the same thing when you have like 270 people watching you, whereas like it's very easy to give up if you have no one watching you, right? Like there's a huge difference in that, and like it kind of sucks to say like this is easy because I have 300 people watching, but also it's the truth, right? You have people watching you do stuff, so like that in itself is compelling to keep going. Maybe it doesn't suck to say that, but it is like it is a factor that like would be silly to be like, oh yeah, I would totally do this on my own with no one watching, where in reality I probably wouldn't.
And I think one of the nice things about Twitch too is it's not just a bunch of people sitting there in silence staring at you walking back and forth between two rocks, because new pro tip about Pokemon Crystal, if you actually don't shift squares but just wiggle back and forth within the same square, you don't use up your repel. Things I learned today.
Pro strats.
Pro strats. People in the chat are having side conversations about things that they're doing while they're watching. And then people talk about that or things that are going on in their lives, or they ask questions about other Pokemon games. So there is a constant conversation that Steve can participate in while he's just wiggling his fingers, hoping not to run into a Weezing that's going to use Explode so that he then has to soft reset. Wow, I know too much.
Fingers crossed for Twitch partnership. I applied about a week ago now. They said up to 7 business days. It's been, I think, 4 business days. The weekend doesn't count. By the time this episode goes up, it'll be another business day. So we'll see. I mean, they say 7 business days, but I don't believe them. I believe they will take longer than 7 business days, honestly.
Hmm.
That marathon goes until February 9th if you want to jump in and hang out. Like I said, my time is from 10 a.m. Eastern to 6 p.m. Eastern. And after, if I do get the shiny coughing, fingers crossed that I get it soon, I'm going to move on to Shiny Unknown, which actually has slightly less... I should probably explain this. So if you want a Shiny Unknown, this is another trick about Crystal. Before IVs existed, there was something called DVs. And because of how the DV values are assigned to Pokemon, the possibility for Unknown to be Shiny actually only... it only narrows down that only the letter I and the letter V can actually be shiny in Pokemon Crystal Gold and Silver, because of how DV values work. So what that means is it's very likely to get a shiny V or a shiny I compared to the other 24 shiny unknowns that cannot be shiny at all. There are 4 chambers in the Ruins of Alph, and every chamber has a puzzle in it, and once you do the puzzle, it unlocks the unknown, the certain letters, and then they go into the main chamber where you can hunt. Well, if you wait until you get Surf and you surf over to the southeastern chamber, the letters, the unknown in that chamber, it's the Aerodactyl puzzle, by the way, are S, T, U, and V. So 5 letters. So if you do that puzzle, you unlock only 5 letters into the main chamber. So when you go hunting for unknown, obviously you want to go for either V or I. So there's a 1 in 8,000 chance of getting a shiny normally, but because the V and I unknown have way higher shiny odds because they always have set DV values, and those DV values lead them to be shiny, I believe it is a 1 in 500 chance to get a shiny V instead of a 1 in 8,000 chance. Unfortunately, there are 4 other letters you have to worry about. So anytime you run into a T or a U, those cannot be shiny. So if you do the math, because V is 1 in 5,000, and because there are 4 other letters, the math actually comes out to it's about a 1 in 4,000 chance to get a shiny in the Ruins of Alph of the letter V. The reason you don't want to do I is because if you do I, which I think is the northern west chamber to unlock I, it's 8 letters instead of 5 letters. So, of course, you do the math, it's like 1 in 500 to get I, but there are 3 more letters that you have to worry about. So then that increases it to from like 1 in 4,000 to like, my math is probably slightly off. But if you want to get a shiny unknown, which I just found out unknown are not breedable, and you want at least 1 shiny unknown, you probably would want to do it in Crystal because of the DV values and stuff.
If you wanted the I or the V?
Only if you wanted the I or the V. Like, you could do I, and it would still be a better hunt, but if you want to, I don't know, have better eyes, it would be more realistic to do the V. Because I've talked about all the shiny hunting strategies, do you want to hear how complicated breeding is?
Go for it. Yeah. That's right. Because, like, the only thing I have to offer for Pokemon Crystal is I'm soft resetting for a shiny starter. I have reset about 18 times, and I'm getting tired of it.
18? You are the very first step of a long journey.
Every day I pray for that shiny Cyndaquil.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Man, like, I've soft reset for, like, good IVs before, was it Sun and Moon? No. Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, because you could get the legendaries out of those wormholes. And that is way more likely than a shiny. And it's still, I was like, I'm never doing this again.
It's terrible. Okay. So the breeding is really fun. Okay. So here's how breeding works. You can only breed a shiny if one of the parents is a shiny. If you put 2 Pokemon into the daycare, it is impossible to get a shiny unless one of the parents is. So that's the most important part. It is completely unlike other Pokemon games. The breeding in Crystal, Gold, and Silver only applies to Crystal, Gold, and Silver. All right, so that's step one. You have to have a shiny. Because, again, going back to the unknown, it's all dependent on the DVs, and which can be... This was before IVs existed. They're just DV values. They're just the hidden stats that Pokemon can pass on. I finally got a shiny Abra. So I was like, it's time to breed. We have a shiny. We can breed it now, right? We have a shiny Abra. Abra is in the humanoid egg group, which means that other Pokemon... I've learned a lot about eggs, too, recently. Which means other Pokemon like Jinx, Mr. Mime, Machop, Drowsy, they're all in the humanoid egg group. Abra is male, which means that any female I put in with Abra, I would get a new species, because the mom is always what your child is based off of. So Daddy Abra is good to go, can pass down its shiny genes, but obviously if it was a female Abra, if I had a shiny female Abra, I would only get Abras. And I already have a shiny Abra, so I don't want to breed for more Abras. So I was told that, I could find a female Drowsy, put it in with Abra, and then there you go. I could possibly get a shiny Drowsy.
Drowsy's, do you know what the odds are?
Yes, I know what the odds are. I'll get to those in a second. Shiny Drowsy, not interested in. It's cool, I guess. I don't have one, but I also have a psychic Pokemon on my team. Don't want another psychic Pokemon. So somebody said, you can breed with Machop. I was like, perfect. Where can I find Machop? Oh, you can't find it until after you beat the 7th gym. Well, okay, that doesn't help me now. Then somebody else said, there's a Machop in the Goldenrod department store that you can trade for if you have an Abra. I was like, well, lucky day. I bought 5 Abras. One were shiny. I got 4 others. Let's go trade some Abras. So I walked up to the Goldenrod City department store. I saved right before because it is possible, just like any other Pokemon in the game, that the Abra he trades you can either be male or female. Or sorry, Machop. I traded, got a female Machop, and then we can start breeding. So now, mother is Machop, dad is Abra, and Abra is shiny. So I can pass on those shiny genes. So I'm going to start nicknaming these Pokemon to make it easy, because this is probably the most complicated thing in all of Pokemon history. So the normal, if you have a shiny Pokemon and a non-shiny Pokemon, your odds for a shiny egg is 1 in 128. That sounds awesome. That sounds incredible, right?
Yeah.
It takes about 13 minutes to hatch an egg. So that's not incredible. The other thing is, if you have a shiny Ditto in Pokemon Crystal, Gold, or Silver, your odds are 1 in 64. And I'll explain why that is in a second. But again, to get a shiny Ditto would be pretty close to impossible. It's only 10% in the grass outside of Goldenrod, and it's a 1 in 8,000 chance. There's like a glitch you can do to work around that, but I'm not... You could just hack yourself a shiny Ditto if you want to. I don't care. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about real odds. 1 in 128 for a shiny Pokemon. So the problem is... So we're going to name the female Machop Muscles, because that's what the guy in Goldenrod City trades you. He trades you a female Machop named Muscles. I named my Abra Applesauce. Abra and Applesauce can have a baby, which will carry the shiny gene. Not necessarily means it's shiny, but it will carry the DV values for future Pokemon to be shiny, which is really weird to think about. But the shiny Pokemon can only pass the shiny gene to the opposite gender. That means that Muscles and Applesauce can make any kind of Machop, but only female Machops can have the shiny gene. So this is really important in this situation, because Machop is 75% male, 25% female. So if I was to try to hatch a shiny female Machop, every egg would have a 1 in 4 chance on top of the 1 in 28 chance of being shiny, which sucks, because it would be easier if I had a male Machop, because they're more likely to be hatched. I had Abra, Applesauce, and Muscles. They had a baby, a female baby. It took me like 5 or 6 eggs, which, again, 12 to 13 minutes to hatch an egg, so that took about an hour. They made a baby. I named it Diva. So this is my female Machop named Diva with the shiny gene. She is not shiny, but she carries the shiny gene. I then took Shiny Abra out of the daycare, put it in the box. I then put a regular Abra, good old Abra off the street that I got from the game corner. I put it into the daycare with Muscles, and they made just a standard basic Machop. So this Machop has no relation to D.Va, has no relation to Applesauce. I named that Machop Basic. So then I put I put Basic and I put D.Va in the daycare, which meant that D.Va carried the shiny gene, which means she could only pass it on to male Machops being born from Basic and D.Va, which because of the odds meant I would have a 1 in 85 chance of hatching a male shiny Machop, which everything I just explained took 5 hours to set up.
Oh, my word.
On Jeez. Top of that, I was lucky that it hatched in the very first egg once I successfully set it up.
Well, both parents had the shiny gene, right?
No, because basic, so if you have two Pokemon with the shiny gene, they are incompatible because they're related in that way. That's why it was important for Muscles, who wasn't related to any of this, really. It was just a female Machop that we abused. It was important for Muscles and a random Abra just to make a random Machop. Because really, I could have just went out to the grass and catch a random Machop. The only very important person was D.Va. But there is no wild Machop, so I had to breed a wild Machop. Because what I did the first time is I had D.Va in the daycare with a random Abra. And while that did work, Machop and Abra don't make eggs fast enough. And since it already took, it was taking 12 minutes to hatch an egg, but it was taking 15 minutes to make an egg. And so I wanted to make eggs faster than I was hatching so I could hold. You guys have done breeding. You want to hold as many eggs as you want. So if I'm only hatching one egg at a time, I'm not being optimal. So that's why I wanted another Machop, because they make eggs in like 6 minutes. So I could make 3 eggs for every 1 egg I hatch, and then eventually I'm caught up, and now I'm overflowing with eggs.
Man, Steve, you've changed. Last time I was on this show, you'd never caught, even encountered a shiny Pokemon.
It all sucks. So the mistake I made last time is, so when I went to switch the Abra, so I was like, I need eggs faster. I've hatched a bunch of male Machop. I'll just put that in. Those male Machop, even though they weren't shiny, they carried the shiny gene because they got it from D.Va. So because I put the Machop in, I ruined that formula of like, oh, even though they're not shiny, because D.Va was the mom and D.Va can pass to the opposite gender, then they carry the shiny gene and two Pokemon with the shiny gene are incompatible, which messed. So the whole everything I just explained, there's no way to check your work. There's no way to check if you're doing it right. Which is the worst part about everything. Because after I took 5 hours to finally set it up, because 2 of those 5 hours was, I think I messed this up. Let's try again. I then had to have my fingers crossed and go, well, I hope these eggs that are about to come out work. Because I have no way of knowing. There's no way I can like inspect D.Va and be like, hey, Machop, do you have a shiny gene in you? Because there's no data showing me that you do. I just have to hope. But the cool thing is, because I have a shiny Abra and a shiny Machop now, who are both male, I can get any Jinx I want, put it in there, because they're both from the humanoid egg group. And because Jinx is the mother, that means I will get Smoochum. And because Abra and Machop are both male, they can only pass the shiny gene to females. Smoochum and Jinx are 100% female, which means I have a 1 in 64 chance of hatching a shiny Smoochum. Because of how the shiny gene works in Crystal.
Jeez. All kinds of crazy things in Crystal.
I just want to point out for one quick second that we are discussing sick, shiny breeding strats for a game that is 18 years old.
It's the worst. Don't go down this dark road that I've been.
Oh, no. Has it been good for your brand? Have you gotten a lot of viewers?
I mean, it's been fine. I mean, like I've had on average about 270 people watching every single day. So it's been nice.
That ain't bad.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I've never seen chat and a bunch of people blow up as soon as I got that Abra. Three suffering days, and we got Abra. With a good name. I think Applesauce is a good name for Abra.
Applesauce is a great name, yeah.
All right, well, that's our show, guys. We'll see you next week.
We've talked about that for like 20 minutes.
Pokemon Crystal, it's interesting. I've actually never played it, so this is the first. I mean, I played Gold, I played Silver, I played Heart Gold, Soul Silver, but it's for the most part, it's the same, but it's like weird going back to Gen 2, especially Gen 2 that isn't Heart Gold, Soul Silver, and just kind of seeing how it all aged.
Yeah. Did it age well?
No. Also, the pacing in that game is terrible. Like, you can do the first four gyms in, like, if you were to powerhouse through it, you could probably do the first four gyms in, like, 4 hours. They're so close to each other that it's, I just never remembered that, I guess.
Huh.
Because once you deliver the Togepi egg, you can do Faulkner, and then you go south to the Slowpoke well and Kurt, and Kurt tells you about his balls. And then you do the Slowpoke well, which is really four members of Team Rocket, and then you're done with that. And then you do that gym. You go through the Elix Forest, which is probably the same length as the Viridian Forest. And then nothing is stopping you from challenging Whitney. You just challenge Whitney. And then you get the water bottle, you get the pseudo widow, and then when you walk to the next town, I think Yuriki City, you walk inside the burnt tower, you see Suicune, and then nothing is stopping you from challenging Morty.
Ekrutique City.
Oh, sorry, Ekrutique. So literally you can do the first four gyms faster than you could do like two gyms in X and Y or in Black and White probably. It's the pacing is so weird in that game. But I guess I didn't remember it as a kid because, or when I played it, like, how old is Heart Gold, Soul Silver? Like, not 8, 9 years old?
Pretty old.
Because you can do so much when you arrive in, like, Goldenrod or when you're, like, the National Park, like, where you can do the bug-catching challenge. Like, there's so much to do, but it's, I like it. Like, I like it a lot, actually. I like it a lot because it's, like, if you wanted just to do gyms and, like, go on your adventure, it's so quick. But also, the game offers so much to do outside of that that it feels like you have the freedom to explore. And I feel like modern Pokemon games, they force you to, like, explore, but it's really just a linear path you're going down to make the game feel longer, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, there's, like, there's always arbitrary, like, bushes or whatever that you can't get through. So it feels like you're exploring, but really, like, they've put you on a railroad.
Gold and Silver. Actually, I take this all back. I think I really, really like Gold, Silver, Crystal. Like, there is no railroad. There's just so much side stuff for you to do, but they don't force you to do it, and I love it. But also, awesome. If I wanted to powerhouse, there's another trick. One more shiny strat I'm going to tell everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the Goldenrod, I think it's the Goldenrod Tower where you have to fight Team Rocket. There are a bunch of Electrode that you have to disable to get to the final room. And unlike other wild Pokemon that you can encounter, like Sudowoodo, right? If you encounter Sudowoodo or Snorlax in the game because they're blocking the path, you start the encounter, and if you kill it, they go away. If you catch it, they go away. And if you run away, they go away. They're gone forever. For some reason, these Electrode in the Team Rocket base, if you run away, they just stay there. You have to kill them or catch them. You cannot run away. So you can shiny hunt for an Electrode very easily. And if you hate soft resetting, you don't have to worry about it. You're literally just encountering it and running away. And it's amazing, right? Because I think soft resetting is not great.
Right.
The problem is Electrode knows self-destruct. And there's no damp in Generation 2 because there's no abilities and there's no way to stop self-destruct. But if you have a copy of Gold and Crystal or Silver or Crystal and you have two DSs, you can get the Master Ball on one DS, attach it to a Pidgey and trade it over. And so then when you go to do the Electrode, you can then just keep running away until it's shiny, and it's extremely fast because running away from a Pokemon and re-encountering it is 100 times faster than turning off and turning back on your game.
Yeah.
And so you can do that until it becomes shiny, and then you could throw the Master Ball. And then you have yourself a shiny Electrode, which is, besides having two games, is really easy to get. There's your last shiny strategy for Crystal.
A lot of, so wait, you have to catch, you personally have to catch 8 shinies that are different? That's what the challenge is?
Yeah, the challenge is 8 shinies that are different, and then once I get 8 shinies, I beat the Elite Four, and then I can go shiny hunt Celebi.
Oh. So, and are the other streamers doing these same strategies, or?
No, they're doing different. I don't think any of them are doing the Electrode strategy.
Okay.
But one of them did. There's a Lapras that appears on Friday nights. It's really, okay, so Gold and Silver are also really cool because they have, not only do they have specific days in the game, they also have Pokemon appearing at specific days and times. And I guess like Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire did something like that with Hoopa. But like, why does that not exist in other Pokemon games? Well, Lapras appears every Friday night in the Union Cave.
Huh.
Brobson went up to the Lapras, saved, and then like soft reset for Lapras until he got it, and he got it in like 1,000 encounters, which is incredibly under odds.
Wow.
And then there's they did some breeding techniques as well, and I think Data Dave soft reset for Shuckle because one of the people near Olive City, I don't remember what it's called, they give you a Shuckle. So before you accept the Shuckle, you can soft reset over and try to get the Shuckle to be shiny, which is also a really cool shiny. Because shiny Shuckle is blue instead of red.
Ooh.
So everyone has like slightly different Pokemon. But I have so far a shiny Cleffa, a shiny Abra, or Kadabra, I should say, and then a shiny Machop. And hopefully the next time you hear my voice, I will have a shiny Koffing. And then after that, I'm going to go for a shiny Unown. And then I don't know what I'm going to get for next. I'm going to get Red Gyarados. That's a free one. I actually don't have a Red Gyarados in my Pokemon bank, so that'll be nice to fill in.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And also, just to also give Steve some credit, Data Dave and Brobson are both playing 2 games simultaneously. I don't know how they do it. I it's beyond my ability to comprehend, but Steve's only playing 1. So they've like have doubled the odds of encountering and finding things.
So do they have like 2 capture cards and 2 different 3 guesses?
Okay. Yep.
So I'm
there you go.
I'm gonna speed run my other game because I have 2 DSs obviously, but that one doesn't have a capture card. I'm gonna speed run 1 just to get the Master Ball, which I think is fair. I think that's within the rules because they're playing 2 Guppies. I'm not shiny hunting in the other game. I'm just gonna beat all 8 gyms with literally just my Totodile because there's no experience. I don't know where experience share is, but I'm just going to use all the experience, put it into Totodile, just be super, super overleveled. I've seen people do it. They can usually beat Crystal within like 10 hours just with 1 Pokemon. Because Crystal's just, it's just easy. It's easy because they put Kanto in. So like the quote unquote hard stuff is Kanto. I'm just going to speed run, beat the 8th gym leader. I don't have to beat the Elite Four. I just have to beat, what is her name? Not Cynthia. She's like blue long hair, the dragon gym leader. I don't remember her name, but once I beat her, then I can just go back to Professor Elm, get the Master Ball, find a Pidgey, and then trade it over as a held item.
Claire?
Claire. Yeah, Claire. That's her.
Yeah, I was just about to get there. Claire in Blackthorn City.
Yes. Which I think there's an ice cave before that, but we'll figure it out. Maybe I'll catch a Jinx while I'm there and then trade the Jinx over.
That one will breed better.
It will be bred better.
Does that exist?
Yes. It'll breed better because traded Pokemon have eggs faster than your own Pokemon for some odd reason.
Ooh. No, that's always been the case, right?
Like, yeah, that's always been the case.
Yeah.
That's why people want like Japanese Dittos for the Masuda method.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's a different region, it's got a higher shiny chance. And then they like each other more because they're. Even if they're a different species, they're from different places. Because
they're exotic.
Okay. Hey, this is like related, but not related. But I didn't get one of those GameStop Marshadows. And
I have
now
3 of them.
Oh, shoot.
Do you need a Marshadow?
Yeah, because I have, like, it kind of like messed up my soul a little bit because I have a Living Dex. And then Marshadow came out and I never got to GameStop because I was just really busy that weekend traveling a bunch. And I didn't get it. So I was going to ask, like, is there going to be another event? But now you're just going to hook me up. But
yeah, I think I have to double check, but I'm pretty sure I have a bunch of extras because I think they expire on the 23rd of February.
Oh, so they could still be there. Could still be cards left.
There could be. Yeah. There's no. I mean, like, I'm sure GameStop threw them all away. You're giving too much credit to GameStop.
Yeah.
Speaking of GameStop, we have some news, but I didn't think we would be talking about Pokemon Crystal for 33 minutes, but I guess that's okay, right? Because that's like the newest yeah, Pokemon game.
Yeah, and I mean, for one, found that conversation fascinating. That was really neat.
Does it make you want to buy Crystal, Logan?
Oh, no, not at all. No.
It's only $10, and you can get a shiny Cyndaquil.
Cool.
What about Celebi, though? Don't you want to spend $10, beat a game you played when you were, like, 10, and then catch a Celebi?
No. I mean, I have a Celebi. It's not a big deal.
But what about a 14% chance of a shiny Pokemon from an egg? It's pretty good odds.
Pretty good odds if it didn't take 15 minutes to roll the dice every time.
What about a shiny unknown? Only a 1 in 4,000 chance, Logan.
But is that the best unknown chance that you have in any game?
I think you can get unknown in Mirage Island in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, so probably not.
Yeah, because okay. You can get the shiny charm and then go there, and then you'll have better odds.
Yeah.
But Mirage Island sucks. It's not great.
Yeah, but it's still better than that method you talked about.
But what about Electrode? It only requires you to have two copies of Crystal.
And to spend a Master Ball on an Electrode.
On a shiny Electrode.
I
don't care how shiny it is.
Shiny Electrode's blue instead of red. It's pretty rad. But okay,
literally, if the shiny Electrode looked like a Master Ball, I would be down.
Oh,
but
wow, that would be really
it's
cool.
It's just a different color. It doesn't look like a different Pokeball. Pro tip, TCPI, pick up on my my recommendations here.
Pick up what Will has thrown down.
Also, last pro tip about, this applies to all the Virtual Console Pokemon games, because you can do, what, red, blue, yellow, gold, silver, crystal?
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter what ball you catch any of the Pokemon in, because the game data doesn't record which ball the Pokemon are caught in. So when you transfer them through Pokemon Transporter to Pokemon Bank, it defaults everything to a Pokeball. So if you're saving your love ball that Kurt made you for Celebi to transfer it up in a love ball, it's going to be a Pokeball no matter what.
Dang, that's cold.
Yeah. Kurt's balls just are not good enough for the Pokemon Transporter app.
Bummer.
It's rough. It's a rough life. Poor Kurt. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back. We have very little Pokemon news that we'll talk about, and then we'll have a bunch of emails we're going to try to catch up on, so we will be right back.
Bip, bop, friend time. Bip, bop, friend time.
Bip, bop, friend time.
Bip, bip, bop, bop, friend.
Bip, bop, friend time. Bip, bop, friend time. Bip, bop, friend time. Bip, bop, friend time.
And we are back. From our break, we're going to do a little bit of Pokemon news here. We mentioned GameStop earlier. It is now the February distribution for GameStop. And the two Pokemon you can get are Palkia and Dialga. I think I'm finally saying it right. Because that's how the Pokedex 3DS app says it. Dialga. You can watch Pokemon Rise of Darkrai on Pokemon TV. If you still play the hit mobile game Pokemon Shuffle, you can mix it up with Dialga and Palkia through new stages between February 6th and February 13th. So yeah, go to GameStop and get your codes for your distributions. For you can get codes for Sun, Moon, Ultra Sun, and Ultra Moon.
Nice.
And then next month will be Regigigas and Heatran. So there you go.
I wonder if the Heatran will know any special skills.
I don't know.
Do you think maybe it's like a massage therapist and it uses like very hot rocks to make you feel
better? No, but there has been a competitive Heatran that you had to get as a particular distribution because it doesn't know that one attack. It's not that competitive, but I can't remember what the attack is or what the distribution was. I just remember that I was at a VGC competition one time and my opponent felt the need to explain that no, he had not hacked his Heatran to know that particular move, and he gave me the time and date of the particular distribution where he got this perfectly legal Heatran, and I was like, I honestly wouldn't have noticed.
Man, that's hoo-wee.
VGC life. That's what it is.
I had a Heatran on one of my teams, but it wasn't anything special. It was just like regular old Heatran.
What's hilarious is either that dude like was just so concerned that he was going to get called out because probably he had hacked it, or so many like intense VGC people who literally have every viable Pokemon and move and everything memorized had challenged him that he had memorized what the correct response was.
Yeah, there's no way that was legit. I mean, that's like methinks the lady doth protest too much.
Speaking of legit, Sun and Moon Ultra Prism is now available. Feel the power of the ultra of the Prism Star, according to Pokemon.com. As you travel through the Ultra Wormholes, you'll uncover new ways to battle in the Pokemon TCG Sun and Moon Ultra Prism expansion. The new Ultra Beasts are here, and Necrozma's power grows, and the overflowing energy unleashes to a new kind of card, the Prism Star. And then it just has some more dialogue, but yeah, I mean, like, 150 new cards, including 5 Ultra Beast, 18 new Full Art cards, 6 new Prism Star cards, which are powerful Pokemon and trainer cards. When played effectively, they can dramatically change the balance of a match due to their game-changing effects. Players can only put one Prism Star with a given name in their deck, rather than the usual 4. For more information, please check out this new trailer. I doubt the trailer is going to give you more information. It's probably just going to show you some fancy cards. And, I've heard...
Some CGI Pokemon.
Yeah, some CGI Pokemon, pretty much. I've heard good things about this set, but I don't know. You guys don't... I don't think you guys are in the TCG loop.
Nah.
I bought TCG cards when I was in San Antonio, but Kay's the one who pulled the secret ultra rare.
Ooh.
Very fancy.
Is it like a lot of money for that one?
Was it like a $40 card?
Yeah, it was about $40. I don't know if he sold it or not. I think he sold it, which was probably the smart thing, really. No point in sitting on expensive Pokemon cards. Just move them as fast as possible. Otherwise, you'll regret it later in life. Yeah, I mean, it's a cool set. I've heard good things about it. They brought back Empoleon. They brought back Garchomp. I believe they're both pretty decent cards if you're interested in that.
So what, like, do you know anything specific about, like, mechanics or whatever that make it a good set?
Yeah, I've been playing the TCG pretty actively recently, the TCG Online. Cool. People were really excited about a couple of new cards, specifically Cynthia. So they brought back Cynthia. Cynthia's done what she's always done. You can shuffle your whole hand into your deck and draw 6 cards, which is just incredible.
Yeah.
The card that's been super, super popular for the longest time. So there's 2 cards that pretty much people run 4 of no matter what. They run N and they run Sycamore. The great thing about Sycamore is it lets you draw 7 cards, but you have to discard your whole hand. So if you have a really good hand, but you're missing 1 or 2 cards you need, like an energy, you probably don't want to Sycamore it. But in the other sense, if you only have Sycamore in your hand, and you play it, it's the most amazing thing in the world. The other card that people love is N, which has existed since Black and White. N will let you and your opponent both shuffle your hands into your deck, and you draw cards per the amount of prizes you have. So it's, N is really good because if your opponent is winning and your opponent has one card and you end them, you end their hand down to one, which can definitely...
If they have one prize.
Yeah, if they have one prize, I'm sorry. If they have one prize and you use N, they can only... And they have like a hand of six, they can only have a hand of one. They have to shuffle their hand and draw one card. So that can definitely help you win the game.
Because
if they don't draw anything good, then they just waste an entire turn. In retrospect, too, if you also you have... six prizes and your opponent has six prizes and you both have seven cards in your hands, probably not that big of a deal for you and your opponent just to draw six new cards. Or in sense, if you knew your opponent has something in their hand, you would end them to force them to shuffle it back in. So N and Sycamore are like two. Everyone runs four of each. But now that Cynthia is here, people will probably start running less of N and Sycamore and more Cynthia because Cynthia guarantees you six cards no matter what. Because N is really useless if you're winning, right? If you have one prize card and your opponent has three, there's no point in N-ing because you're only going to draw one card.
That being said, it's better to have a card that helps you win when you're not winning and not so much when you are
right.
than it is the other way around.
N is great, but it's not perfect. Where Cynthia's super great no matter what, really. Leafeon GX and Glaceon GX are supposed to be both pretty good. People are excited about that. Also, the EV in the current format is pretty amazing. The EV in the format has an ability where if you play an energy card onto it, you can search for its energy evolution and you can just evolve it instantly.
Whoa.
So it's very popular with Sylveon because people just attach a fairy energy to Eevee and instantly they can go in their deck, they can find Sylveon, and they can instantly evolve it. So the fact that Leafeon and Glaceon are here is just the same thing. If you're running a grass deck, you have easy access to Leafeon. If you're running a ice/water deck, you have easy access to Glaceon. So the Eevee card is just super, super good.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
There's a Palkia and Dialga... Dialga card. I haven't looked into them, so I'm not 100% sure what they do. There's Dawnwing Necrozma and Duskmane Necrozma. I'm not sure if they're good or not, but people seem excited about it. Yeah, there's a bunch of cards, but people were very disappointed with the last set, which was Crimson Invasion, and people seem very excited about this set.
Cool.
Our final bit of news here before we go to emails is some Pokemon Go news. Apparently, if you're in Sydney right now, this news might be over by the time this podcast goes up. But I don't know what RTX Sydney is, but unknown R, unknown T, and unknown X are spawning this weekend in Sydney, Australia. So that's pretty cool if you're a Pokemon Go player. I don't know what RTX is, but I think it's where gaming meets the internet, starring your friends from Rooster Teeth, February 3rd and 4th, International Convention Center, Darling Harbour, Sydney, Australia. So I'm not, that doesn't really clear up what it exactly is, but I'm sure if you like Rooster Teeth, you probably know what it is.
Man, I still don't have an unknown in Pokemon Go.
You're slacking, Logan.
Yeah, I've had one for almost a year now. Come on now.
But you guys went to that event where they were all over the place.
You
should have gone to an event.
You should have came.
Yeah, I wish I could have.
If you cared enough, you would have been there.
Look, I want to
hear Logan's Pokemon Go stuff. But let me do this last bit of news here. New avatar items added to Pokemon Go. This is off Bulba News. Niantic has released a set of three avatar items for purchase in Pokemon Go using Pokemon Goins coins after completing the Battle Girl, Jogger, or Fisherman medals. The Battle Girl outfit can be worn by female avatars, while the remaining two outfits can be worn by male avatars. I really hate this, by the way. Let me wear whatever clothes I want, but okay.
Right, exactly.
Different items being able to lock upon equipping the corresponding medal. So if you want the Battle Girl outfit and you are female, you need the bronze medal for Battle Girl for the gloves, the silver medal for the shorts and the shoes, and the gold medal for the tank top. If you are a boy and you want the jogger outfit, bronze medal for jogger, bronze medal for sunglasses and visor, silver medal will get you shorts and shoes, and gold will get you the tank top. And finally, You want the Fisherman medal, which I believe is catch 2 million Magikarp or something like that. Bronze will get you the hat. Silver will get you the pants and the boot. Gold will get you the vest. So overall, I think this is really cool, except you have to not only do something but spend money, which it's fine because it's just cosmetic. It's not that big of a deal. I hope they do more of this. All three of these outfits are literally based off outfits in the main series game, which is really cool.
I need them to do Pokemon Superfan so I can have a Pikachu onesie.
Ooh, that's really good. Yeah, that's super good, actually. But I just hate that it's like gender specific, I guess.
Yeah.
Because the girls have way better outfits overall in Pokemon Go than the boys do.
It's true.
I don't want a fedora. I just don't. Logan, you still playing Pokemon Go?
I play Pokemon Go like every day. Literally every day. Yeah. I think I've gotten my 7-day streak bonus for the past like year. Yeah.
Your Gen 3 going well?
Yeah. I mean, so my boyfriend Billy travels for work a lot. I know this is like controversial, but like while he travels to work, I'm like, you're signing into my Pokemon Go app while you're there.
Violation of the TOS. Shut him down right now.
Get the email out.
So that's how I have like a Mr. Mime. For a long time, I thought Sivipur was regional, but it doesn't seem like it is.
It switches once a month.
Oh, I see. Okay. And hopefully, eventually, I'll get Heracross. He's traveling to Mexico for 2 weeks starting tomorrow, which sucks.
You don't have a Heracross?
I don't have a Heracross.
What you been sleeping on, dude?
Yeah, you went to the Pokemon Go Fest, Logan.
Hoo-wee. Oh, boy.
If you went to the Pokemon Go Fest, you still wouldn't have had a Heracross, but whatever.
Nah. You know, Will. I caught like 30 Heracross as soon as I walked out of Golden Gate Millennium Park. I can't remember what it was called. Logan, I want this. Uh-huh. This is how I can tell if you're a hardcore Pokemon Go player.
Okay.
If they were to have another Pokemon Go Fest, let's say it's in Texas, because I don't think you live near Texas.
No.
Would you travel and go to it?
I would want to. I don't know. Did it sell out immediately? Is it on a day when I can like take off of work? Is it not in the middle of a big project? These are all adult questions I have to answer before I can decide if I can go to that event. Are you guys going to be there? That's important.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, I don't have a job, so I'll be anywhere.
no doubt we'll be there. I just go there so I can be the non-Pokemon Go player looking objectively at the events.
Are you still doing raids every day, Logan? Or what's your status on Kogur?
Kyogre?
Yeah.
Kroger. Kroger, the grocery store.
I've gotten every single legendary. The only one that I'm missing that's not like just a regional exclusive is Mewtwo. And I have a group of folks that I play with pretty often on weekends. And especially whenever there's a new raid, we'll all go out. But we did a raid at a Sprint store just because sometimes sponsored places will give you EX passes. And everybody that did that raid that day, besides me, got an EX raid pass, and now they have Mewtwo, and I'm very salty about it.
That does suck.
Yeah, but I do have Kroger, and I have Groudon. And
Groudon. Come on, say it right. Groudon.
Okay, Groudon. Kroger and Groudon.
Wait, this is how we can tell if Logan listens to the podcast or not, because I'm pretty sure we told the Kroger story last week.
Kroger? What happened? I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, don't tell it again.
It was just that like a kid that was in the raid said that there was a Kogur spawning, and I like I second guessed myself because I'm pretty good at butchering Pokemon names.
Yeah,
Kyogre is pretty. I don't know. Kyogre kind of. It's pretty easy to say.
Yeah, I mean it's at least like there are several versions, right? Like you could say Kyogre or Kyogre or Kyogre, but Kogur is a step too far.
I think so as well. But I can't stop saying it. It's super funny.
Now I want to call him Kroger forever. This is
good old Kroger.
Good old Kroger.
So you got everything but Mewtwo.
Well, everything that's not a region exclusive. Like I said, I still don't have Heracross. I don't have Kangaskhan. Oh, and I'm still working on Gen 3 stuff, especially the ones that came out like last week.
Yeah, yeah. Whims are everywhere.
Yeah.
But no unknown
Whismur.
Either.
Whismur.
No unknown either. Yeah, Whismur, Loudred, and Exploud. Yeah, I don't have unknown. That is the one regional, that were not regional, that in like the first two gens that I don't have.
I'm not going to lie, because we were talking about unknown earlier. But again, if you were to ask me a year ago if I cared about shinies, I would say no. But if you were also asked me a year ago if I was ever interested in filling out a Pokedex, or to go one step further, not only filling out a Pokedex, but catching all 28 unknowns, I would have laughed at you and went back to playing Destiny. But I cannot lie when I say that I credit Pokemon Go for being one of the main influences that pushed me to complete my Pokedex in a main series Pokemon game, to the point where even in Pokemon Leaf Green, I spent an entire night trying to catch every single letter of the unknown alphabet, and I was able to do so, and then I transferred that up to Pokemon Bank. And it was because That's of awesome. Pokemon Go.
Yeah, I mean, Pokemon Go is the, I don't know if it's the Pokemon game that I played the most at this point, but I play it every single day, and it hasn't gotten old. It's so separate. Like, I never ever want them to connect Pokemon Go to Pokemon Bank, because then I would just transfer all of my stuff over there and have perfect Pokedex, and it's not exciting anymore. But like, having the things where, like, you know, Kangaskhan seriously only lives in Australia, and I have to go over there to catch her. I don't know. It's just very exciting. It also motivates me to take a lot more walks. I've definitely walked a ton more than I otherwise would have because of Pokemon Go. I love it. It's great. I still play every day.
Every day. All right, let's do some emails here.
Yeah.
This email is from Thomas from California. I don't know how to say the city name, so I'm not even gonna try. Oh, also, if you want to email us, sbj@pkmncast.com, or you can go to pokemonpodcast.com and hit the contact button. Either way is acceptable, and it'll get to me, and we'll eventually read it. So this one is from Thomas. It says, "Hey, SBJ and crew, I've been meaning to write in for almost a year, but I haven't got around to it. I've been listening for a couple years now, and I've been a Patreon member for maybe a year." Well, thank you for that. "I went back to earlier episodes, but I started listening when I found you guys, and it has been great to see the evolution over the years. It makes my 10-hour shifts at a bakery go by fast. I finally caught up around some time when Sun and Moon were being launched, and I have eagerly awaited your episode every week. The weight of continuation of Mythical has also been killing me so much that I've started listening to very random encounters just to hear the sweet voices of Logan, the surly voices of Greg, and the great Travis laugh. But the main reason I wanted to send in this email was to give praise to the amazing Slack community. This is a long email, I'm sorry. The story starts somewhere in the beginning of 2017 to end of 2016. I'd lost my copy of Pokemon Moon on my breaks at work. I had been breeding a competitive team and was having some great success in getting all my synchronized Abras. I'm gonna increase this font size. One company was great in being able to reset my Pokemon bank so I didn't lose all my Pokemon, but most got vanished into the ether with my physical copy. I had to trade a few lines up with the Slack members, and I had to break the news to them where I could no longer do trades, and when people found out I had lost my copy, so many members of Slack reached out to me, and even one offered to send me an extra copy of Moon to help me get back into the groove. Needless to say, I was floored by everyone's generosity and willingness to help me get back into breeding, help me refill my Pokedex. It was one of the most generous and kind things anyone has ever offered to do me, and I broke down in tears. Thank you all for the great Pokemon community that has been built around this wonderful podcast. Much love, the Fish of Doom, aka TJ." Yeah, I mean, no real question there, but I thought it was a good read, a good email, and it mentioned Logan, who happens to be here this week.
Hey!
And here's the real question, Steve. Why are you always making people cry?
Oh.
You're always making people cry.
I make myself cry.
Follow up real question? How about that Mythical? When are we What are we doing more mythical?
Look, Logan, I didn't expect to be doing a 2-week crystal marathon. I'm trying to gamble for Abras here, Logan.
Low key secret insider knowledge. Steve is actually working more now than he ever did when he had a paying job.
Oh yeah.
I love it.
That is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, you're working 8-hour days 7 days a week now.
Look, when I had my real job, I was working like 6.5-hour days, and maybe 2 of those hours were dedicated to Reddit.
Wow.
No, I mean, I've talked about this before. I was very fortunate with my old job. I had a lot of free time. I had a lot of flexibility with my hours and stuff, but I've worked harder in the last 4 months than I probably did in the last 4 years at my job. And that's not to say like I slacked off or I didn't work hard, but it's a totally different feeling to like go into work and just know that at the end of the week you're making the same amount of money, even if projects don't get done, because you're guaranteed 40-hour paycheck. Whereas like now I made like $32 today on Twitch, and I streamed for 8 hours, and that is $3 an hour, $4 an hour, maybe. I can't do math in my head. I think $4 an hour. And that's not to say like I need to be making, you know, $100 a day on Twitch, but like some days I've made $0 on Twitch, and some days I've made more than $32. But if it wasn't for the Patreon and if it wasn't for the community that TJ has mentioned, I probably wouldn't be able to pay my rent. So,
yeah, the stakes for me are way less, but that Slack is rad. It's just a really great resource because that's where I go to like be like, hey, I'm playing on Monster Hunter and very lonely. Please add me. And there's, you know, there's like an other podcast channel where you can talk about other shows, is because like we all have similar taste that listen to the show enough to support it on Patreon. So it's a good place to just find a whole bunch of different communities, really, but all rooted in this thing we all love. I just really like that Slack a lot, and it's like the best idea for a Patreon reward, and it's really worth it. So that's my little yay for Pokemon Podcast.
Plus, I'm there, so why would you hold back?
It's true.
Yes, Will is there.
This email is from Rachel. It says, hey, Pokemon Podcast crew. I've been looking through some of the all-new Ultra Prism TCG cards, and lots of them are Gen 4 characters and Pokemon. Could this be a hint and a remake in the future? Also, what is your all's opinion about what they might do for Switch? Thanks for now, Rachel. And then she said, P.S., did I send this to the right email? Yes, you did, Rachel, because we're reading it. Thank you.
So, it's just Pokemon Diamond and Pearl confirmed for Switch, or actually Hard Diamond and Lustrous Pearl.
Oh,
confirmed.
I see.
Man, that's a really good subtitle. Yeah.
And did you notice
Hard
that with
Diamond?
This year's...
I don't know. You got me at Lustrous, but Hard.
Maybe Flawless.
Sparkling Diamond and Lustrous Pearl. Mm. Also, if you noticed, for those of you who are national treasure clue hunters out there, the first distribution for this year's legendary Pokemon
gosh.
Mythical distributions, Dialga and Palkia.
All right, I'm just gonna say it right here. Gen 8 is coming before any remake of Diamond and Pearl.
Yeah.
How much absolutely. You want to bet? What do you?
I would bet you. I would bet you $500. Hands
I'm
down.
I'm not betting money. I don't have money. I'll bet you a hamburger.
I'm so confident that they're going to do this. That it makes no sense. That they finally get to do a new console and they start with a remake? No
right,
way.
No. The debut on Switch is definitely going to be a brand new Pokemon game for sure.
I bet you one Culver's hamburger that it's going to be Pokemon
you're on,
Shiny
Will.
Diamond and Lustrous Pearl on the Switch as the first Pokemon title
just,
on the Switch.
Just like, okay, so even if you were to look at past remake games, so like Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, 14 million. Arc Gold, Soul Silver, 12 million. Platinum, I guess Platinum doesn't count, but Platinum, 7 million. Pokemon Black and White 2, 8 million. And then compare those numbers to like X and Y and Sun and Moon, 16 million, 16 million. Black and White, 15 million. Diamond and Pearl, 17 million. Like, a new, like, on paper, any business would go, if this is our first game on a new console, how do we sell the most copies? We don't remake an old generation.
What if it's a new story set in the same location?
That's a new game and totally rad. And eventually they're going to have to do that because they'll run out of places on this world.
Right. I don't get, I've said this on stream because people, this is also another question you get a lot on stream. Do you think we're getting Diamond and Pearl remakes? Why are Pokemon fans so obsessed with remakes? I don't understand. And they're like, well,
but
they
also
have-
absolutely we are. Like, there's a plan laid out. Like, they do it, you know.
But there's not really like a plan. Like, yes, they've done it, but like, look at the 3DS. You can play every single generation of Pokemon game on the 3DS. There's no need to if we're not talking about Switch, there's no need to remake Diamond and Pearl. You can literally play Diamond and Pearl on your 3DS.
That's true enough.
And like the only game you weren't able to play on the 3DS was Ruby and Sapphire, which then made sense for them to remake, because now if you look at the 3DS catalog, you can play every single generation of Pokemon game on one console. So do I believe they're going to do Diamond and Pearl in the future? Sure, because if they're moving to a new console, they probably want to reproduce the same results of eventually you'll be able to play every single generation on the Nintendo Switch, because that's the new stepping stone.
But like you're saying, I don't think it's going to be the first one. It's going to be like a year after that first Switch release. And I don't think that the Switch release one is going to be this year, but maybe it is. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was like, I think what report said that they were aiming for this year, but I bet it slips till spring, which is okay, because we've definitely had Pokemon games in spring.
Yeah, and it'll be on Switch. Like, everything's better on Switch. That's fact.
We didn't talk about this. I'm sorry, we should have in the news, but they finally released sales numbers months after Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon came out, and it only sold 7 million. Which is...
Ooh, that's very disappointing.
Which, I mean, Black and White 2
is
probably one of the worst games in the series, and that sold 8.5 million. How upset is Will right now?
I'm just not even contributing to this bogus conversation and clickbaiting.
For me, like, I started Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, and it felt like I'm going to have to go back to that after the plot has worn off of my mind. Because I played Sun, and then for the first time ever, I bought the other game in a series. So I played Sun and Moon. And then by the time that was all over, Ultra Sun Ultra Moon came out like the next month or whatever after I had done those two playthroughs, and it feels exactly the same. I imagine that it gets more different later on, but I've got to get some distance between me and regular Sun and Moon.
It was quick. I mean, less than a year, one day less than a year to drop that game.
Yeah.
Just seemed like a... I mean, Will said it best. It just seemed like they rushed this one, and then they rushed this one, when in terms they could have just taken more time to give us one really good game. But I don't think in the long run it would have sold any better because you don't really know what you're buying, right, when you get it.
Right. I still don't know. Like, I don't know why it's Ultra, except for like there's like three additional Pokemon or whatever, you know.
Because Ultra Necrozma is there.
He's pretty cool.
I mean, like, that's... Okay, that's neat. It's just not enough for me to... Like, I wanted more plot, or a different plot, or some more adventures in Alola. I love Alola, and it...
Well, then maybe you need to make your own game and make your own plots.
Check out Very Random Encounters, the podcast where I do that.
I think Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon are the best Pokemon games in the series, just because of... like no HMs, the quality of life improvements, the Pokemon Pelago, the being able to breed pretty quickly, the Ultra Wormhole is nice for getting legendaries. It's nice for like people who want to get into shiny hunting. The SOS battles are there. Like, There's just a lot that I really like about it. So it is like my favorite in the series, I think, but that doesn't mean that there's not a ton of flaws to it. But even like if you didn't play Gen 7, there's no point now to buy Sun and Moon. Just get Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon.
Right. That's my thing. Like, it sounds like the post game is really good and better than Sun and Moon. But I can't get to that because I'm just like, oh, I can't do this plot again right now.
All right, let's do another email.
Okay.
But yeah, to answer your question, Rachel, I think they will make Gen 4, but I don't think it will be the first game on Switch. It would be easier to make a brand new game and then to take that engine and then to apply it to a remake instead of going the other way around. Resource-wise, that just doesn't make sense because... Michael writes in, good morning. I was listening through your walkthrough of Sun and Moon, and at the 18th episode, you were discussing whether or not trials or gyms were better. I have an idea that would make the next game better. Lose the trials, but make gym battles much harder. In the anime, there are a ton of gyms that can only use a certain number of Pokemon from your party. Having gym leaders Pokemon strong and put them on a limit of how many Pokemon you can use. Hopefully you like this ideal. Keep up the great work. Michael from North Carolina. I don't know if I said the state, but there you go.
I would love it if it was like in the Origins thing where like if you came with incredibly overleveled Pokemon, there would be like no such thing as that. Like if your Pokemon levels reached a certain threshold, then the gym leader would bring a different set of Pokemon. That would be really neat. But in general, I like trials like a lot more than I like gym battles. But it may just be because there's only one game or one set of games with trials and it feels very fresh, you know?
No, I like the concept of what he's saying. I don't think he went into enough detail, but like having specific different rules for the different gyms so that you can't take Feraligatr and just like stomp everything all the way through because it's overleveled and it's the same thing over and over and over again. You're just facing different types, but have each gym be a different, still based on battle, but be a different puzzle that you kind of have to figure out. Like have one gym that you have to have a monotype team. You can't have all of the team members have to have at least one type in common. That would be interesting. Or have one gym, maybe like the first gym, you actually can't bring any Pokemon that are over level 20, and then see what you can do within that range and everything like that. But also make gyms repeatable so that if you do enjoy the challenge, ooh, that you can always go back and do the gym over again.
Okay, so I like your idea, but the problem is that if you put that restriction on every gym, then that means that you can't actually have your friends that you have grown with you. And like the core idea of Pokemon that you're building this friendship with this group of six monsters. If suddenly they can't come, then it's...
See, that shows that you haven't played Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon because they are really, really starting to call into the question of why are you collecting all of these Pokemon just to stick them in a box and never touch them ever again?
Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon is pretty hard when it comes to trials. They can be hard when it comes to trials. It does punish you if you don't come with the...
But there are NPCs that specifically call out, like, you know, that why are you being so cruel collecting these Pokemon and just putting them in a box and you'll never touch them ever again? That's unfair to the Pokemon.
Like isn't that Black and White's plot? Like the bad team kind of has a point.
No, but like they're specifically saying about the boxes, not just a general very high level meta concept of why don't you love all your Pokemon. They're saying you are putting these Pokemon into a computer box and never touching them ever again. That's kind of cruel.
But they are best friends, and they live in a beautiful utopia inside that box. That's my headcanon, and please don't call it into question.
Okay.
To go back to the thing, I would love it if you're, like, the challenge gyms, like you were saying, you can go replay the gym, but, like, there's some reward or whatever if you do the gym again, and it's, like, a challenge mode where they, like, really, they either bring much higher level Pokemon, which they've done that before where you can go re-challenge gym leaders and their Pokemon have leveled up, But if there was a specific challenge, like now you can only bring, like you can only bring fire types to the water gym leader and you have to figure that out, you know, or like you said, you have to have a certain number and you can't have more than that, or the levels have to be capped.
Or have an inverse gym. I loved the inverse battling. I don't think they ever did enough with that. That was like,
no,
just
yeah.
So
there's just
fantastic.
Like one guy who you can do it once a day, which doesn't make any sense. But if they made you do that for like some kind of reward, that'd be rad. Or they could really just have an inverse gym leader and that would be cool too.
Yep. And the reward could be a fresh water.
Hey, champion making.
I'm still under the it's so frustrating to me when you're doing these battles against these gym leaders, and I would like it like the anime where it's like, this is a gym leader of three Pokemon, so before you come in, pick your three Pokemon that you want to use, instead of it being a situation where it's three versus six. But I still hate that NPCs and yourself can use items in battle. Because, like, when you attack a gym leader or just any person, like, the Elite Four is a good example, or your rival of, I just critical hit you with an ice beam and you have 10 HP left and you're going to use a max potion. And I'm going to do ice beam again because that's my best odd. And you're then going to use a max potion. Well, you know what? I'm just going to use ice beam again. And you're just going to use a max potion. But eventually, NPC, you'll give up on using the max potion and I'll eventually win. And you don't see that stuff in like the totem battle, which I think is why I really like the totem battle, because it adds that difficulty without like the computer opponent relying on items.
Yeah.
But also, if it put that difficulty on you of like, hey, you also can't use items, I think that just instantly solves the problem of it being too hard or too easy. Just like if you wanted the game to be hard, stop playing in shift and play in set. Like, that's such an easy change to make the game more difficult. Also, if you want the game to be harder, just turn off experience share. But there's something like about the fact that the computer defaults to using max potion over and over to get out of quote unquote their situation, where the AI is no doubt questionably gotten better, but I just that specific instance, which happens a lot in like the Elite Four battles, is really frustrating to me.
Yeah, it's the only move they go. That's why that Miltank was so infamous, because it's the one Pokemon where like the max potion is devastating, because you know, Miltank is building up its defense, so you finally whittle it down and then it's completely fully healed and you can't do any damage to it anymore. And you know, or milk drink rather. And that one.
But it rolls out.
Roll out.
And we all know that using items in battle isn't real. Real Pokemon battles, you're not allowed to use items. So we're just training our children to fail.
Also, you're allowed to use one item.
Ash uses items in battle.
What item can you use in battle?
Held items.
Yeah, you can use held items.
That's not the same thing.
No, I don't. I mean, there's probably an episode of the anime, and I'm just not remembering. But I don't remember Ash ever like using a potion on Pikachu mid battle.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's normally like after they get beat, he sprays stuff on them.
So, like I said, I would like to give up my items, so the computer has to give up their items. I think that's fair. I'm willing to make that sacrifice.
Final Destination, no items. Too legit.
Too legit.
Every Pokemon battle.
Every Pokemon is Fox McCloud. All right, we'll do two more emails here. This email is from Nathan. Hey guys, longtime listener. Just started listening at school every time I am on the way home. I like you all equally and I can't decide, but a quick question. What are your all favorite Pokemon? Nathan from New Jersey.
My favorite Pokemon is Zigzagoon. I've got a tattoo and everything.
That is so true. I've seen the tattoo. It's art by Micah, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
How dare you put Micah's art on your body?
You have no tattoos. You have no room to stand. My favorite right now is Cyndaquil, because I am soft resetting for a shiny Cyndaquil in Pokemon Crystal. And I'm up to 18 I should be soft resetting right now.
Just
while we record.
Breed it in Sun and Moon.
And send it back down? No.
Oh, I mean, you're playing through Crystal?
Yes, I will.
Let
do you
me
remember
tell you about
a
this
few
Abra
weeks ago?
Strategy.
Yeah, sick Abra strats. Do you remember a few weeks ago when we were talking about how I didn't have a game to play in the mornings because Miitomo is ending?
Yeah.
Yeah, my new game is called Soft Resetting for Shiny Cyndaquil.
I heard Pokemon Shuffle's getting a big update.
Oh, well, good for them. I wrote them off years ago.
Oh, years?
Years, yeah, at least 2016, if not 2015.
Wow. Things change when you don't come to the podcast for a long time.
We have so many old emails. There's like, I have like
you
this...
didn't say who your favorite Pokemon is.
Sorry. I don't know. What Pokemon should I pick of the week? I'm going to do Chandelure.
Yeah, okay.
Is that fair? I like Chandelure. Yeah.
That's legit.
I get asked a lot what my favorite shiny is. My default is Sableye, which is a pretty good shiny. It's because it's gold.
Hmm.
All right. So
my mom got me a stuffed Sableye for Christmas. Just throwing that in there.
Nice. We have a lot of emails asking what our thoughts of Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon are going to be. This is prior to Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon coming out. So I have to go back even further. This is an email from October. This is how far behind on emails we are. All the emails we just read, I got within the last week. So if you emailed around the time of November and the email was in regards to Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, probably not getting read because we know everything about those games. And I'm really sorry. I feel super bad, but this is how far behind on emails we are. But we're pretty caught up now. I will probably just kind of filter the rest of these or respond off the air. But this one is from Kyle. This is, hey, SBJ, Kyle from Milwaukee. That's pretty cool. I've been listening to your podcast ever since Sun and Moon came out, and I'm really enjoying it. The miniseries was awesome for you to do, and I hope you do it for the next game. Hey, we did. Finally got around to listening to the podcast called The Kickstarter Debate, and I found it really entertaining. I found myself laughing out loud at my desk. I liked some of the unique reasons why the Pokemon you picked made the list. Even though I don't like people on the internet constantly wasting their breath on a daily basis criticizing people's personal lists about everything and everything, I'm going to do it now anyways. I think one of the best points you made was the debate about Gen 2, the game that separated the hardcore fans from the Gen 1ers. Gen 2 is my favorite generation, and I have played just about all of them. That said, how did you not end up with a Gen 2 Pokemon on the final list? Did I miss something? I heard you say that you debated doing another list of top 10 Pokemon from just Gen 1 generation. I think you guys should do Gen 2 just to give it a shot and the love we all know it deserves. But anyways, one of my criticisms of your list is not really a big fan in the end because I enjoyed the episode a lot and I liked hearing some of your different opinions of what made Pokemon great. In the end, we have all our own preferences of what make Pokemon great, and it was cool to hear those opinions being discussed. Oh, in one way, that was one of my criticisms. I thought they were going to criticize a certain Pokemon we picked. I don't remember all top 10. I know, I think Aegislash was on the list. I think Gengar was, Omanyte, Talonflame? No, Victini, I think. Will, help me out here.
I'm trying to find our records. I'm trying to go back in time to see what the results were, but boy, you're...
I think the cool thing about that list, I know Logan wasn't on that episode, but I don't know if you remember it, Logan.
It was a long episode.
It was a very long episode, and it was a while ago. I think the cool thing about that episode is, like, opinions change, and people's favorite Pokemons change, but I think that doesn't discredit the reasons we had to pick those Pokemon at the time. I know we all picked 10 Pokemon and then we narrowed it down to 10 Pokemon. So there was a lot of difficult cuts. But even though like a Gen 2 Pokemon didn't make the final list, I'm very confident there was Gen 2 Pokemon in people's personal top 10s. They just got out argued by other Pokemon on the list. And that's not to say that it was because they were bad. It was just... they didn't have strong enough arguments to carry them to the final list. There was also compromises on that list, right?
Yes, absolutely. We had debates, and some people had to give a little to get a little. So yeah, definitely.
Like, if you were to ask me, like, if I was to go back in time and switch one of my Pokemon on that list, I would have fought super hard for Corsola at the time. There's just one or two years ago, however long ago we recorded that, Corsola was not a Pokemon in my mind, and Corsola has quickly moved up to a Pokemon I would consider in my personal top 10 over and over again. And I would have to, like, sit down and kind of think of a strong argument why. I kind of, some of the basis is behind, like, the impact of Pokemon Go and it being exclusive to Texas and how that was, like, really important to me when I traveled. And that formed a memory, and I think that is important in itself, and I would argue that. I would probably just make sure that argument is a little bit stronger than what I just spewed out right there. But no, there are a lot of good Gen 2 Pokemon, but I'm pretty sure Gen 2 is the smallest generation of Pokemon.
It's only 100 new ones, right?
Yeah.
Okay, real quick, though. Stantler, number one. I obviously have a big affinity to Stantler. I'm going to go with Cyndaquil. Like, you know, we can't have a Pokemon podcast without mentioning Cyndaquil a couple of times. Togepi is, like, the second most recognized Pokemon, and it's in Gen 2. Smeargle? Smeargle's famous. Great.
Girafarig unknown. Is super good.
What? Oh, Rimmerade? Yeah.
That's a Girafarig.
Oh. Girafarig is okay, I guess.
What?
It's kind of scary.
No way. Unknown.
The
yeah,
tail
we talked.
Part.
We talked about a lot of unknown this episode. I would probably consider unknown.
I like Dunsparce.
Yeah, it's all right.
No.
Shuckle, definitely too... Shuckle.
Wait.
Shuckle, I'll give you.
No, I think Travis tried to fight for Piloswine, but it did get the aid. Almost made it, but I think it got the axe.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure Travis. I've lost this list. I've just looked everywhere I could possibly think that it could be, and it's not anywhere.
Miltank's pretty rad.
Delibird.
Yeah. Delibird's pretty cool.
I almost did a reference to your Twitch stream, but I will hold back.
You know what? Knocked Owl, pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
I mean, it's no Lydian. No, I'm just kidding. No one likes Lydian.
That's not true. I actually know people who, like, absolutely love Lydian and always have it on their team for every playthrough that they play.
Who are these people? And don't introduce me to them.
I'm not going to say his last name, but it's Casey from West Virginia. We've had a discussion. I've discussed it with him. So I will hold strong for Casey because he's a real
So when
nice
you
guy.
Said I know people, you meant I know one
and
person.
And one hardcore Lydian fan.
I mean, if there's one, there's got to be others.
Okay. All right. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But so one of the Patreon goals was to reach $2,000 a month. I think right now we're at $1,700 a month. So we're literally dollars away. I mean, if you want to do the math, if everyone upgraded their pledge $1, we would be there overnight. But if we were to hit the $2,000 mark, we would do seasonal debates. For spring, summer, fall, and winter, which would be like the 3-hour Kickstarter episode. And those episodes require an entire weekend of recording. And then for me, editing, and then everyone else gets off the hook as I edit. But I had more debates to do. Like, one of them was to debate over the top 20 Pokemon theme songs, because there are 20 seasons and they have different songs, and I would be comfortable playing the music to the theme songs with an episode hidden behind. I know I hate putting episodes behind the paywall, but obviously these episodes would be for people supporting the show. It's extra content for them. But it would be cool to be able to play the intro. And, like, I know Will is a big anime person. I would probably bring on other people. So that's the other thing, is we would bring on people that know the topic. So if we're talking, like, anime stuff, I would bring on Will and then some other people. But I was going to do a debate of, like, top Alolan Pokemon, and you could do smaller ones. You could do multiple smaller ones too. So there might be a seasonal episode where it was like top Alolan Pokemon, favorite Pokemon from Gen 2, favorite bird Pokemon, because there are a lot of birds to talk about. So you could do stuff like that and then have a debate there and then do that seasonally, which I think would be really cool, because as we like look back at old episodes, that Kickstarter episode seems to stand out in people's mind of something that kind of holds water even after all this time.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the essential Pokemon thing, isn't it?
List?
Yeah. No, I mean, like, specifically, like, who's your favorite?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, what kind least, of least, relationships have you?
Least favorite Pokemon?
Least favorite Pokemon? Least favorite Pokemon?
Logan, give me your least favorite Pokemon.
Oh, no. Murkrow?
Okay, yep. All right.
Murkrow?
I feel like that's because of Pokemon Go.
It is absolutely because of Pokemon Go.
Oh, do you see a lot of them?
Yeah, and it, for the longest time, it was, like, the only dark type that you could catch regularly to get your dark metal up. So I've caught so many Murkrow, and I just hate them. I just don't want to see any more Murkrow ever.
That's fair.
But then again, as soon as Huntrow is a thing, I can have like 1,000 Huntrow right away.
You'll have your own personal mafia in Pokemon Go. That's what matters. Well, I think we'll skip out on Pokemon of the Week this week just because of our weird recording schedule, and we're already over the 90 minutes that I've been trying really hard to get the show under. I think the 90 mm-hmm. minutes is the real sweet spot for the show. So we're going to skip our Pokemon of the Week. I think what we're going to do actually is tweak it just a little bit. I think people are liking the Pokemon of the Week with Will reading and then the trivia and then Rochelle talking about the shiny and stuff, but we might tweak it just a bit. For future episodes, nothing major. I wouldn't lose sleep over it, honestly. But let's wrap up here. Logan, thank you for being on. I'm sorry we weren't able to get you on sooner, but things have been busy.
I'm here all the time, man.
Just always here.
Anytime would be a good time to talk about Pokemon.
Pimp yourself, please.
Oh, well, you can find me at Logan Jenkins on Twitter. I also do a weekly show, Very Random Encounters, with Travis and Greg and our friend Lee. It's really cool. You should check it out. It's really neat. It's a great show. But it's an actual play podcast where we don't just play D&D and we randomize as many things as possible. It's super fun. That's kind of all my stuff.
All right. Will is at Wash in the Sink on Twitter.
Yeah. And Drive Check Podcast is coming up on episode 100. 2-year anniversary.
Oh my gosh. Holy milk tank,
so,
Will.
So you know what happens to thanks for being a deli bird. You know what happens when you hit episode 100?
You stop podcasting forever?
No, you have to have a 5-hour episode.
Oh, yeah. No, don't do that.
I know that's obviously everyone's favorite episode. No, we're probably going to do something special for episode 100. I just haven't completely decided yet.
I've just had the thought that I don't know what we like change our seasons and games, and we don't have like a consistent number. So I have no idea how many episodes we've done of Very Random Encounters. But we've almost been doing it for a year, so that's something. So probably 50, maybe. What do you do?
You got to number your episodes.
We number them based on what season it's in. So then if you're in the D&D season, there's number 1 through 9 or whatever.
Then just add the last number of every season together. This is basic math, Logan. Let me tell you. Okay, so first you need a dad Abra, and then you need a mom Machop.
Okay.
All right? You can find me on Twitter at DraggingALake. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Pokemon Podcast. Waiting for Twitch partnership, so if you're bored at work or at school or you're home and you need something to watch, I will be live for the rest of this week from 10 a.m. Eastern to 6 p.m. Eastern. I don't know what my schedule will be after this week. I don't think I'll be able to get Shiny Celebi, but I've already made it this far, so if I don't get Shiny Celebi by the end of this marathon, I will probably just be continuing to play Crystal until I do, because I've gone too far now. I might as well keep going. But that's been our show. So thank you guys so much for listening. Otherwise, this has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective,
super carbon,
super Kroger.
Kroger.
Kroger's and Groupons.
Kroger's and Groupons? Why didn't you say Groupons during the show? That's the best.
I did. You weren't paying attention.
I'm sorry, Will.
It's Super Effective was created and produced by me, Steve Black Jr. Logo and artwork were also created by me. The music on ISE was created by Nicholas Burgess. If you enjoy ISE, consider leaving a review in Apple Podcast or just tell a fellow friend about the show. ISE is my current job right now, and I need all the support I can get to keep doing it weekly. If you'd like to support ISE, you can do so on Patreon. You can support me by heading over to ise.cash. For as little as $2 a month, you'll gain access to our Slack community where you can battle, trade, and chat with other trainers. And for $5 a month, you'll gain access to our bonus anime podcast. A quick shout out to our producers of this show, which include Robert, Kevin, Mason, Kay, and Cygnus. Thank you all for listening.